Moncrief on News Talk.
Paw Patrol, a show about talking dogs that are apparently qualified to operate sophisticated machinery and vehicles. They live in an extremely high-tech house, and according to the Paw Patrol movie, it's all paid for by T-shirt sales. Sure. But even more worryingly, the show depicts a world where a private sector group has to carry out rescues and capture criminals because the public sector is hopelessly corrupt or incompetent. Is this ostensibly innocent kid show really a propaganda vehicle for neoliberalism? The cultural critic Paul Whittington has been sniffing around this idea. Good afternoon, Paul.
Hello, Sean. How are you?
Not too bad. Once you first started to think about this, did the scales fall from your eyes?
The sad thing is I found the time to think about it at all. But there have been a couple of critical articles about this, one in The Economist and a few in The Guardian over recent years. The reason I was aware of the show is because when my boy was small, he's now going to senior school and watches, you know, films about horrific shark attacks and things like that. But at that point, he was very interested in Paw Patrol and it seemed harmless to me. It was annoying. But it was harmless. I thought it's these pups and they're eternally pups. Their owner, Sky, the teenager is called Sky. He's 10. He will never be 11. They never get older. And they say things like chases on the case, rubble on the double. And each week they solve calamities in their little community of Adventure Bay. And the mayor of Adventure Bay, who I reckoned was probably a Democrat, he is completely incompetent, and it all seemed very innocent to me, annoying but innocent. But according to some, there is this undercurrent, and actually superficially it seems almost liberal. My son's favorite character, Rocky, he was obsessed with recycling, and there's all this kind of stuff about community, and also the main villain, Mayor Humdinger, from the rival town of Soggy Bottom. He has kind of blonde ice cream hair and builds phallic towers and wants to take the world over. So it superficially, it seemed sort of mildly liberal, but apparently not.
Yeah, because this is, after all, we should point out, this is a Canadian show.
It is Canadian and made in Ontario near the lake that Trump now wants to rename Lake America, I believe. But nevertheless, there are people have even accused it of Ayn Randism. You know what I mean? I don't know if you've ever had the misfortune to come across her, but it is true that they are a private security company, effectively like the ones you get on gated communities in America. And they seem to they are repaid with lots of donuts, etc. at the end of the day, and they sort of operate outside the law in a funny way. So people have pointed that out. And also, as you said in the new film, this thing is huge, and the merchandise is massive. And there's a joke in the new film about them making money out of the merchandise. So that's being seen as it's all a kind of, you know, capitalist scam. I mean, whether, you know, any of this gets through to 5 and 6 year olds, Sean, I have no idea.
Yeah. Now, because it often struck me that Paw Patrol is actually a ripoff of a much older show called Thunderbirds that had a similar, it was that, you know, those old Gerry Anderson puppet things. When they did something similar, they all lived on an island together, which is slightly suspect, but and Daddy had an extreme amount of money. And they were always going around rescuing people. But at least you saw, you know, they'd go to other parts of the world where there was a, you know, there was a government in operation and they didn't seem terrible.
Yes.
You know, they were just helping out.
No, and you should remember they were operating during the Cold War as well, Sean. So they had, you know, they had other things to worry about. But, you know, it's true. It is kind of a ripoff of that. But it's way more successful than Thunderbirds ever was. Mm. And people are now worrying about its politics as people do.
is there something to that, though? Because if you're a 6 year old or a 7 year old, and is that helping forming your view of the world?
In my experience, no. Not really. I mean, it's not Paw Patrol particularly, because I think if they are there, these Ayn Randian politics are too obscure for 5 and 6 and 7 year olds, even the brightest of them, to take in. I think there are other children's programs where you get these very interesting intrusions of adult politics. Like, I don't know if you've ever watched the Mr. Bean cartoons, which are they're still making them, which I didn't believe. The original series they were based on was, I thought it was unspeakable, the sort of live action sitcom in which he sort of went around falling over from the 80s and 90s. That's gone, long gone. But this is huge. And anywhere we go on holidays in Europe, there's Mr. Bean, a translation to Portuguese or whatever. And he is like an introduction to the British class system for junior viewers. And they're actually quite witty and clever. And he is this sort of lower middle class person who is very work shy and lives in the attic of this terrifying Cockney landlady called Mrs. Wickett. And he despises his neighbours, who are kind of very obviously working class. They have tattoos and so forth, and you know, and he yearns to be accepted by the upper classes. And in one episode, he meets the Queen and really makes a show of himself. So there's a lot in that, especially if you happen to be British. But there's an awful lot underneath it.
Yeah. Now, but I suppose, and again, this has exercised people that say Daddy Pig in Peppa Pig is perpetually depicted as absolutely useless. And even though he's trying his best all the time.
He is. That was another favourite when my son was small. And like some men have chosen to find this offensive. I always had a soft spot for him, to be honest with you. But he's always out of breath, and they're always putting him into fun runs and so forth. You know, where he keels over with a stroke and so forth. And he is incompetent. It's Mummy Pig who does everything, and he's kind of just sitting around being surprised by everything. But I think that's the thing they got into trouble for was actually health and safety. It was noted after the first few years that the kids were riding around without cycle helmets, and that Daddy Pig didn't wear a seatbelt, possibly because he couldn't get one that would fit him. But so they had to go back and change all that. I think it's comparatively inoffensive. I don't know if you noticed that with that show Masha and the Bear. I don't know how up you are in these things, but that's huge as well. Mm. And a group of British MPs in July, with little else to do while the government was falling, they got together to demand it be taken off the regular TV schedules, because they reckon it's soft Soviet or soft Russian propaganda.
Wow. Why yeah. so?
Well, because basically it's from a folktale, actually. It's very annoying as well, but it's from a folktale, and it's basically this mischievous little girl in a forest, and this large shaggy bear is always saving her. And its critics argue that the bear is Russia, and that the real Russia is not very cuddly at all. So that it's sort of soft propaganda. I mean, again, to be honest, you know, you think of a 6-year-old watching that and going, you know, I'm being a bit too hard on Vladimir Putin. You know what I mean? I'm not sure how much of that would get through to them, but it may be. It's very successful in any case.
Yeah, isn't there a show called Turtle Twins? More specific. Yeah, that's more explicit about its intentions.
Well, it is, but the funny thing, it's very American, and I watched, you know, for my sins, I watched a few of them for the piece I wrote for the Examiner, but basically, it's about these two kids and their Cuban-American grandmother, who I imagine lives in Miami and hates Fidel Castro, but she never says that, and she has a wheelchair that's a time machine, Sean, and they go back and they meet capitalist heroes like John Locke and Benjamin Franklin and so on and forth, but they also go back, and in one episode they meet Karl Marx, and they sort of make fun of him and stand him on a desert island. And so they try to balance it, because they meet Rosa Parks too and they like her, but it's very capitalist. And to the extent, actually, that if it doesn't bore a child to death, it might actually succeed in indoctrination.
Ah, right. Now, most people would say that Bluey is this is the acme of good children's programs.
Ah, it's lovely. Yeah.
It is lovely. It actually does teach a lesson that kids can get most of the time.
Does it have
a problem though? Is that particularly if Peppa Pig depicts fathers as perennially useless, A Bluey depicts fathers as people who have all the time in the world to play with their children and roll around in the back garden kind of thing.
Exactly. The dad in that, he's infuriating because he's so attuned and, knows exactly how to play and what to say. I mean, it's a lovely program, to be honest. There is this always, and in fact, in most of them, the teachable moment where everything slows down and you're supposed to get the message of them, which I don't think when I was small, when you were small, cartoons are basically just violent.
Yeah.
And I don't remember there being any teachable moment except try to avoid standing on the rake or something. But in these things, the dad in Bluey, I have to say, it would make your teeth grind because he's so perfect and he makes you feel inadequate. But you can't really give out about the show because it is funny and it's very sweet. But this kind of prop gun is obviously nothing new. I was looking up while I was waiting to come on this cartoon from the 1940s called Bugs Bunny Nips the Nips, in which Bugs Bunny takes on the Japanese Imperial Army, and Warner Brothers got rid of it, but of course it's on YouTube, and I just watched it, and it's phenomenal. Now, it was made in the middle of the war, and America was not well disposed towards Japan, but it's incredible. And they make up this, Mel Blanc, who used to do the voice of Bugs Bunny and all these people, he makes up this kind of cod Japanese, and they all have crooked teeth, and he kills about, I'd say, a platoon, and then paints a flag on the side of a coconut tree for each one he kills. It's incredible. So there is nothing new in any of this, and Paw Patrol is pretty harmless compared to that, I think.
Yeah. Now, and have you found, actually, now that your son is a bit older, he's not saying, that Elon Musk has the right idea or anything disturbing like that?
No, in fact, on the contrary, he's saying he boos Teslas when we're driving. He's very, I think he comes from a woke household, perhaps, but he also says he'd love to go to New York. It's one of the places he wants to go to, but not until Trump is gone. So no, on the contrary.
Yeah, so Paw Patrol has failed miserably then regard. Paul, thanks a million for talking with us today. That was the cultural critic Paul Whittington there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.